How many of you braved the floods coming this morning? I've never seen so many cats and dogs in my life. No, it was raining pretty bad. We have a pond in front of our house now, and so I may go stock it later. But well, no, I'm glad the Lord gave us safety. It was really coming down in Anderson County, and I'm just glad the Lord allowed us to get here safely. I would ask you to pray, if you will. Let's continue to pray for the McGinnis family, especially little Hunter. Ask the Lord to please touch his body and help him. They've been in and out of the ER with just different problems, experiences that they're going through, and everything's new to Sean and Courtney. Of course, I can't imagine going through what they're going through. Thank God I've never had to deal with that, but do pray for them. Ask the Lord to strengthen them and help them. And also, I would ask your prayers for two of my sons, Garrett and Daniel. Daniel is coming home from Wyoming today, and our son Garrett flew out to meet him in Rapid City, South Dakota, so he can help him drive it back. And so if you would please pray for them to have safety as they travel, and then God would get them back home quickly, or in the Lord's timing, rather. And we don't want any speeding tickets, but do ask the Lord to just watch over them and keep them safe, if you will. And I greatly appreciate that. Amen. But go ahead and open your Bibles again. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I kind of finished reading partway through that chapter. I want to go back there. With the help of the Lord this morning, we're still talking about the church. And I don't want to get too deep into the church, but at the same time, I don't want to be too shallow, if that makes any sense. There's a lot of things that I think we all need to understand about what the church really is, what the function of the church really is, because there's so many people deceived or ignorant towards the truth. And I don't mean stupid, I mean ignorant. They may not know better, but our job is to help people to grow in the Lord, and I hope that you're helping someone to grow in the Lord. I hope you are growing in the Lord. That is a desire that every teacher has, every parent. How many of you raised your children wanting your children to do better than you? When you're teaching a class or teaching students or even, you know, a church, pastoring a church, you want your members to do better than you. You want your people to grow in the Lord and not make mistakes you've made, and things of that nature. So let's be in prayer for one another. Let's ask the Lord to continue to help us to understand what the function and purpose of the church is, what the church really means, you know, as far as the called out assembly, to proclaim the gospel, to carry out the will of the Lord. And I hope that you are learning things. I hope that I'm being a help to you. If not, I apologize. I pray for me harder, if you will. But I definitely want to continue. And this morning, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at some of the positions in a church. Not necessarily the two offices, but people that God has placed into the church. Now, does anyone know the two offices? Would you raise your hand? Do things a little bit differently. The two officers of the church, or offices of the church. All right. The bishop or pastor and the deacons. And so keep that in mind, if you will. And today we're going to talk about different positions or different people that you will find in the church. And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have your place, please say amen. Amen. We're going to start in verse 25. The Bible says here that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I hope that we can all truly grasp the meaning there. And whether one member suffer all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? And what's the answer to that? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No, but they should be able to teach. I'm going to add that in there. That's just a little bit of John Beck version there, okay? But don't change the Bible, please. So they're not all teachers, but we should be able to teach. And then it says, are all workers of miracles? And all of us should be able to say clearly this morning, no. Man no longer does miracles. Please understand that, and we find that out in the next chapter. A lot of the spiritual gifts that God had bestowed upon the church were done away when the completion of the Word of God in written form was done. Please understand that. That'll help clear up a lot of confusion in doctrine, especially concerning certain denominations that still practice certain things or say they practice certain things. I have never seen one with the gift of healing in the hospital. Have you? Remember when they could raise people from the dead? You ever seen anybody go out to the cemetery and raise somebody from the dead? Not at all. And there's a reason for that. And so let's don't be caught up in the deceit that's out there. Let's be just stay firm with the word of God. And so not everyone are workers of miracles. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Now, there is an unknown tongue that, you know, some people were gifted to be able to do. And, of course, if you'll read chapter 13, chapter 14, I think you'll get a lot of clarity if you will just follow what the Bible says about tongue speaking, okay? On the day of Pentecost, if you remember, Peter preached, correct? Every man that was there, from all those nations that were represented there, each man heard the word in their own tongue. That was a known tongue. Who did the translating? The Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit translated what Peter was preaching. He didn't preach in all those languages. Please understand that. But every man heard in his own tongue. And so that's important to keep in mind as well. A lot of times we want to look at one verse or two verses because we like what they say, but we forget to compare with all the other verses that talk on the subject. And if we want to be good Christians, if we want to be good students of the Bible, we need to compare scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. We just need to make sure that we investigate the whole thing, not just the parts that we like. And so that will help our church a lot. That will help us a lot to avoid error, to avoid hypocrisy or even blasphemy. I do not want to be a reprobate. I don't want to be a heretic. And so when we look at what's taking place here, by the way, these are all books, these epistles that were written by Paul. Remember, the Word of God was not completed yet. Paul didn't have the New Testament. How many of you realize that? A lot of people treat the early churches as though they had the New Testament. No, they had the Scriptures. They had the Old Testament and just parts of that. And so we are very blessed. In this day and age that we live, we are very blessed to have the completed, written Word of God. What a blessing it is. Do you know that we're more accountable than the brothers and sisters of ages gone by? They didn't have the complete Word of God to be able to study the whole thing through. But we do. Therefore, we're more accountable unto God. So keep that in mind. And then we get look at verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ronnie, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. So we went through the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now I'd ask you to turn with me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Was this the same church as the Corinth church? And the answer would be no. Okay. And so we think about these, and we see that these epistles were written, and you've heard Pastor talk about the majority of them were written while he was in prison. And I'm glad God used him even while he was in prison to give us the inspired word of God. What about you? We look at that, but here, now he's addressing those at Ephesus, the believers there, and he is trying to encourage them. Paul is not changing up his message for each and every church. Please understand that. There's not a right way for this church and a different right way for that church. It's all the word of God. And that's why we need to take everything into account when we study and when we look at what's going on. The book of Acts was a transitional book. That's something that we need to understand as well. It did record the Acts of the Apostles, but it was a transition from the Old Testament way of doing things to the New Testament way of doing things. And so, yes, we need to take all these things into consideration as we look at the Word of God. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. I hope you're there with me. It says, and he gave some, apostles. And some, and I'm emphasizing the comma here, prophets, and some evangelists, and some, pastors and teachers. Now, you could divide that up between pastor and teachers, or it could be looked at one unit there, pastors and teachers. How many of you think a pastor ought to be able to teach? Okay. And so when we think about that, these are different areas that God has used men to help the church. And he's talking about what the Lord has given. And he's talking about that. And so when we think about it, when you're looking at an apostle, by the way, how many apostles were there? Be careful. There was 12. I think Paul was the 12th one. This is my personal opinion. And if I'm wrong, I hope Pastor will correct me on it. How many of you remember when the brethren got together and Peter says, you know what, we need to have somebody take Judas's place? Actually, all the brethren were in agreement with that. And they drew lots. Okay? And so they chose another one. And his name's escaping me for some reason right now. Matthias, thank you. And so they chose Matthias. But I want you to notice, and this is why I think that was the working of men trying to carry out the will of God in their own understanding. Because I guarantee you, the Apostle Paul was an apostle, chosen of God. In fact, he makes that very clear in his epistles as he is writing to the believers. And you know what? Did God bring about, you know, curses upon the church because they chose this other and called him an apostle? No. But sometimes we can get ahead of God. Sometimes we can put our own understanding ahead of what the Word of God wants us to do. And we need to be very, very careful. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I'm impatient. That's why I am not a doctor. I have no patience, okay? So when you think about it, and the Lord's working on me, and please do not pray that I get patience. I really hope you don't do that. But, you know, a lot of times we want things yesterday. We want to do things according to our understanding. How many of you are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Too many times we want to get ahead of the Lord thinking we're helping the Lord. God does not need my help, but I need his help, and I need to learn to wait upon him. He is my strength. He's my protector. And so, and again, that's just my personal opinion on that. If you don't believe that, that's fine. We're not going to fall out as brethren, at least not on my part. We're not. I just think the Apostle Paul was the 12th one. Why was Judas Iscariot not an apostle? He was dead. All right? And one of the requirements to be an apostle, as far as being named one of the apostles, is you had to see the resurrected Christ. And unfortunately, Judas chose to commit suicide, and he died before any of that could come to pass. Now, we know from the scripture, and that's the only reason we know, that Judas was a devil from the beginning, yet Jesus still chose him. Jesus still allowed him to see everything, to eat with him, to hear him, to watch the miracles, even hold the money bag, right? You know, and you know what? God allows everyone to have opportunity. And we need to understand that. Everyone does have opportunity, but do they want the opportunity? Not to be an apostle. There's no modern day apostles. Please understand that. Now, there are churches that say that they have apostles. There's other churches that say they have elders, and usually the person's either in his teens or in his early 20s. Okay, that's always kind of interesting to me, and you know who I'm talking about, but you know what, it's all because of misinterpretation of the Bible, changing things to the way that you want it, and this is where the church gets in trouble, any church, and so we need to be careful with that. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gave these people to the church in general. I think this is talking about the whole body of Christ. That apostle is one that is sent forth for a certain purpose. There are prophets. Now, the Old Testament prophets, they foretold future events that would come to happen. Yes or no? Were all prophets good prophets? No. Were there false prophets? Even as there is today. You look at a date setter today, that's a false prophet. No man knows the day. But also a prophet is a preacher. One who proclaims, who foretells. We can tell, listen, there are still future prophetical events that will take place, and we can preach about that, but that prophecy has already been given. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All we're doing is just teaching what God's word says. And that's the best thing we can do. And so there was apostles, and there were prophets, there were evangelists. Evangelists, what do you think an evangelist does? He just comes in the church and he rips people apart, right? Some do. Some do. We got to be careful. Got to be very careful who you invite into your church, who you allow to come in. because some people are out there trying to destroy and beat up people. Our pastor's all about pouring in the oil, right, and the wine to help. And that's what we ought to be doing. That's what we ought to. Is there a time to shuck the corn? Absolutely. There is a time to preach and to correct. But the majority of the time, we ought to be trying to edify one another, trying to help people. And so keep that in mind. There is a time for hard preaching. I understand that. And I did not like it all last Sunday night. And I was the one preaching it. But seriously, there's time for that. But the evangelists, they are the ones that are going forth to proclaim the gospel. We could say maybe missionaries. Maybe that's another word for that. I just ask you to consider that. But one who is proclaiming the gospel. In Spanish, I don't know how many of you speak Spanish. And I'm not asking you to know that. But the word is evangelio or evangelista. But evangelio translates to gospel. So not only am I speaking in a tongue, I'm letting you know what the interpretation is. But that's it. One who spreads the gospel. But the group of believers or people who claim to be believers in Spain are called evangelicos. And that's EV. It's basically evangelism or even evangelical. I can't even say it in English. I'm trying to transcribe it there. But anyways, these are people who are supposed to be proclaiming the gospel, but they're not proclaiming the gospel. What they're proclaiming, the evangelistas in Spain, what they're proclaiming is good works. Is good works going to get us to heaven? Absolutely no, but not. But a true evangelist is one who is going to proclaim the gospel. And so that's important for us to take into consideration. And then we have pastors and teachers. The pastor, of course, is the shepherd, the overseer. We like to call him the under-shepherd of the church, our pastor, Pastor Lawson. We need to be in prayer for him and teachers. Now, here's the thing. How many of you think you could ever teach somebody else? How many of you think you could ever teach a class? I'm going to ask you to be bold this morning and raise your hand. I'm not taking volunteers, but I just want you to raise your hand. All right, now how many of you believe in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, has God called everyone to be a Sunday school teacher? I'm making very clear what I'm saying. No, but you can be teaching others. Do you know that God places people in our lives, unknowing to us, well, unbeknown to us, but when we think about it, God put that person in your life for a reason. God wants you to be a blessing, maybe to teach that person. And you know, a lot of times we don't understand, God, why do you allow that person in my life? God wants you to help that person. There's these things that I call divine appointments. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God has a divine appointment, and he allows everything to come to pass. I do not believe in coincidences, not one bit. There's no such thing in my mind as a coincidence. Everything I believe is regulated by God, permitted by God. The question is, what do we do with that situation? We need to be ready to take advantage of it. I hope I don't leave this world unless the upper taker comes, you know, soon. I want to leave this world when he calls the church out of the world. But should I pass away, let's say I die this afternoon, would there be someone that could rise up and take over Sunday school? Well, there needs to be. Amen? But a lot of times, what we try to say is our inability to do something is our not wanting to do something. I'm too comfortable doing this. Or I'm too comfortable doing that. Well, if I do that, that means I got to study. Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. And so we look at it. This is something that we need to do. But the church is all about carrying out the will of God, helping others to come to know God, training those. That's a whole part of the Great Commission, is it not? And I believe a lot of modern churches today, you know, the great commission is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. We are to train the believers. Every single one of us can take part in that. there may be someone that has come to you in this church, that attends this church, and they say, they may say something to you, well, I don't understand this. And maybe God has already helped you to understand what that means, and you can help that person by saying, look, this is what the Word of God teaches. And give them clarity, because not everybody understands everything the first time, do we? We don't. Sometimes I'm not ready to receive the truth. Sometimes I'm not ready, whether I'm not willing or whether just because I'm not grown enough to be able to take it in. But nonetheless, I need someone to guide me. I need someone to guide me. And you need someone to guide you, but we also need to be able to guide others. And so looking at that, so why were these people allowed to help the churches, or be placed in the churches? Well, I'm glad the Bible tells us. Look, if you will, at verse 12. Thank the Lord for the rain. I just hope we don't have to build an ark. All right. These people were given to the churches for the perfecting of the saints. Now, if you believe like a certain denomination believes, you're not a saint until you're dead. Yes or no? And then they have to vote on it at that. Now, here's the real kicker. The one who says that, well, this person who died has done enough good works that I'm going to declare them to be a saint. And you may know who I'm talking about. When that person dies, the next leader that took his place has to decide, was this person a saint? Is that not crazy? Yeah. It is crazy. But you know what? The world just swallows it up. Okay, don't bother me. Whatever. Listen, I'm glad that I don't have to be voted on for being a saint. Some people may vote and say no. But God is the one who has made me a saint. And by the way, that's declared holy. There's this process called sanctification, being made holy. I mean, we are holy in the eyes of God that moment we trust Jesus as our personal Savior. But then we start the process of being made holy by God through His Word. And so keep that in mind if you will. So here we are for the perfecting of the saints. Now, how many are perfect? Do not raise your hand. Was the Apostle Paul perfect? No. He told us that. Aren't you glad he was honest with us? Aren't you glad he struggled with things that we struggle with? I'm glad. It gives me hope. But for the perfecting of the saints, that means for the completing of the saints. We are lacking. We need the input, the teaching, the experience of others to help us to grow ourselves for the perfecting of the saints. Paul knew that he was not going to be perfect until he was in the presence of the Savior. And by the way, we will too. Aren't you glad we're going to get rid of this old fleshly body and we're going to get that glorified body one day? I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Praise the Lord for that. But I will not be perfect no matter how much I study the Bible, no matter how much I do for the Lord. I will not be what we consider today as perfect, without error, without any problems whatsoever. There's just no such thing. But I can be complete in Christ. And you can too. And so these wonderful people were given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, to help them to be complete. And then it says, for the work of the ministry. What's another word for minister? Servant. We are to help each other to grow in service. Service of the Lord. And by serving the Lord, do you know what else you'll be doing? You'll be serving others. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. Yet he came to this world, and did he come to be served? No, he came to serve. And as I always try to say, he is our example. That's what we should follow. And we need to hear the different teaching. We need to hear the different preaching. Of course, all biblical. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We need to hear all this so that we can be made completion and complete in the Lord, but also so that we can serve the Lord. And so think about that. And then it goes on to say, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To build up, and by the way, who's the body of Christ? It's the church. It's the members, right? We are to edify. That means to build up. That does not mean demolition. It does not mean kick them while they're down. It does not mean unforgiveness towards the one who offended. Boy, that is a bitter root, isn't it? Unforgiveness. I enjoy God's forgiveness. I thank God for his forgiveness. But he makes it very clear, if I'm not willing to forgive others, and I taught on this not too long ago, if I'm not willing to forgive others, he's not going to forgive me. Isn't it amazing how fickle we can be in our own minds, how selfish we can be in our own minds, that we want forgiveness, but we're not willing to give it out. And, of course, we always come up with some kind of ridiculous reason. Well, you don't know what they've done. No, but God does. You don't know what I've done against Christ, but he knows, and he forgave me. And I praise the Lord for that. And it's not easy to forgive people, is it? Humanly speaking. Biblically speaking, it's simple. Right? But our flesh gets in the way. Our hearts, our minds, our understanding or misunderstanding, should I say, of things that they've happened. But when we look at what all this is, the whole purpose is to help us. To make us what we ought to be. How many of you remember last week I said that each and every one of you are vital to this church? Every single one of you. You are vital to this church. And you can serve. Some people clean the church. How many of you realize that the church is cleaned every week? Do they get to get up here and receive all the praise and the glory? No, but aren't you glad for a clean church? I am. Praise the Lord for that, but somebody does that. I thank God for our sound people, the sound booth. Amen. Sister Mickey and all those that help her, praise the Lord for that. We need it. You know who else is grateful for people that run the sound booth? Those that don't come here but watch it online. What a blessing. But again, every person has a function. Those of you that greet people, thank you for smiling. Thank you for shaking my hand. Can you imagine walking into the church door to, glad you're here. I'm serious. Well, you're welcome. Make yourself at home. What do you want? You know, listen, is this not a hospital for the spiritually sick? And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. I'm excited to be here. I hope you're excited to be here. I'm not saying that I'm always excited. But you know what? I need to at least make my face show. Now you say you're lying, Brother Beck. Well, no, I'm hoping that it'll actually catch on. I'm hoping that I'll actually be happy and be glad, okay? You know what? I do not always wake up in the right spirit, the right mood, wherever you want to call it. And sometimes I wake up in the right spirit and right mood, but I don't finish that way. But I need you to help me. When you're telling me you're praying for me, hallelujah, I need it. Don't stop. I'm recruiting more and more prayers each and every day. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for my wife. She has to put up with me. And so you think about all this, and what a wonderful thing it is, but edifying the body of Christ. Building it up. How many of you believe in church discipline? What is the purpose of church discipline? That was a shotgun, by the way. No. That is not the purpose. The whole idea is that that person will be restored, brought back in to the flock. When you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there was a man that had to be dealt with. Gross, negligent sin, but everybody knew about it but weren't dealing with it. Paul rebuked him. In 2 Corinthians, he's like, hey, if you forgave him, I forgave him. Can we do the same thing? Can we say the same thing? Has there been offenses in this church? Absolutely. People have done wrong? Yes. But if they repent, what are we to do? We're to restore them. Well, I don't know if they were sincere. There's only one that does. And we're not the ones to determine that. Now, there is attitudes that go along with true repentance. I understand that. But listen. Brothers and sisters, we need to build up each other. We need to help each other. I need you. Whether you like it or not, you need me. But this is what we, to build each other. And how many churches are killing themselves? And Independent Baptists, we're bad at shooting wounded. I mean, seriously. What is the unforgivable sin? rejecting the Holy Spirit, is it not? Or blaspheming the Holy Spirit? And what does he do? He testifies to us about Christ. But you know what? According to some people and their beliefs, there's other unforgivable, unpardonable sins. No! Is murder pardonable? Does it mean there's not consequences? No. But it's still able to be forgiven. Adultery. It's still able to be forgiven. You know, I talked about marriage a while back, and I didn't cover divorce, and you know, if the Lord allows me to, I will cover divorce one day, but a person has been divorced, they're not thrown out with the waste and the trash. They can still be used. How many of you understand that? They don't have to wear that scarlet letter, if you will. No, brothers and sisters, we need to love them. We need to help them to know they're loved. Because a lot of times, there is an unforgiving spirit, if we're not careful, towards people who have sinned. And it's by the grace of God that we haven't done it, if we haven't. That's the only thing. It's not because of who I am, it's because of who he is. And so I have to give him all the credit. But to build up the church. Let's continue reading, if you will. Verse 13. Here's how long we should do this. Okay? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, briefly, what is this? How long should we do this? Forever. Amen? We're going to keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this. And how many of you ever failed a test that God gave you? Aren't you glad he didn't stamp a big old F on your forehead and say, eh? I have learned in my personal life, and I assume it's the same for you, I have failed tests before the Lord, and the next day he says, here, try again. I may have failed it the second day. You know what he says? Here, try again. And basically what he's going to do is he's going to keep giving me that test until I pass it. How many of you have passed a test but failed it later? The same test. Okay? And so when we think about this, we're to do this until we all come into the unity of the faith. How many, please do not raise your hand. We are not all in the unity of the faith here. There are some of us that are growing at different levels, different speeds as others. But remember, God wants unity in his church. God wants us to be all of one accord. That means in agreement. There be no schism in the body. I think that was back in Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken. God does not want division amongst his children. So why do we have so many denominations? I mean, these people say they're Christians. They say they use the Bible, but their beliefs don't line up with our beliefs. And what's the key to knowing what the truth is? Well, the very simple answer is, what does the Bible say? Listen, I don't care what denomination you are. It's the Bible that we've got to obey. It's the Bible that is the final authority. And if we don't agree with the Bible, we're wrong. Or if they don't agree with the Bible, they're wrong. Now, does that mean that they have to be in agreement with our interpretation of the Bible? Not at all. Remember I told you about who I think was the actual 12th apostle? Now, again, I'm not dogmatic on that. If you don't believe like me, then we're done. No. That's nothing worth splitting a church over. But what we need to do is take in consideration that maybe we're not as knowledgeable as somebody else on the subject matter. That includes me. Believe me, I'm not knowledgeable of everything, but I'm still learning. I want to continue learning. And when others get up and preach and teach, I'm excited for it because I need it just as much as anyone else does. I need to hear the preaching. I need to hear the teaching because it edifies me. It helps me to work towards being what God would have me to be. And so this is something that we hopefully will keep in our minds. But so we continue to do this until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How many of you know everything about Jesus Christ? Not one of us. We got to keep going. Got to keep working at it. Keep staying in the Word. Keep sharing the Word. Keep obeying the Word. Unto a perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember, every time we look in the Bible, it would be easy for me to get some of you men to come here and say, all right, you guys, I want you to compare me to brother so-and-so. I may fare well or I may fail. But every one of us should be opening the mirror of God. The Bible talks about how the Word is a mirror. And we should be looking at the Word of God, seeing our reflection, except we're not seeing our reflection, we're seeing Christ. But then that helps us to see our flaws, our imperfections. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely. He carried out the will of God perfectly. He could boldly say he did all things that the Father told him to do. Can any of us raise our hands and say that? Please don't. You're going to be in trouble. Okay? We all must continue to grow and to mold and fashion our lives after that image of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, think about this. That we henceforth, in other words, from this time forward, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to what? Who's their father? What verse would that be? John 8 what? John 8:44. You're your father the devil. You do the things that he does. He's a deceiver. He's a liar from the beginning, is he not? Okay. So there are people out there who would act as though they were an angel of light, so to speak. They say that they're a preacher of the Word of God, but they're out there to deceive you. And how many people go church hopping? Either from one church to another church or one denomination to another denomination. And they're searching to see what appeals to them. Well, that's where they're messing up. Don't search for what appeals to you. Search what is the truth. Find the place that is preaching the truth, that is not only preaching it, but practicing the truth. There is a difference. And then subject yourself unto that ministry. Submit. Allow yourself to be taught. Allow yourself to be corrected if necessary. Boy, that's not easy, is it? You know, some people have a hard time saying they're wrong. Some people have a hard time admitting that they don't know. But when we think about this, there are so many people in confusion in the world today because they have not been taught. Maybe they didn't listen. That is also another option we need to consider. But anyone that comes to this assembly, to this congregation of the believers, they ought to know that we love them. We ought to be willing to serve them, to minister unto them as far as any needs they might have. Spiritually, we ought to be able to teach them, because not everyone that walks in here is saved. Yes or no? That's why we need to preach the gospel. You know, if we're not careful, we can say, well, I've already heard the gospel. I know what the gospel is. I don't want to hear it again. I want to hear something new. There's others that haven't heard the gospel. Now, Paul said, I speak that to your shame. I think it was to the Romans he said that. Some have not the knowledge of Christ. I speak that to your shame. Listen, we ought to preach the gospel in every single thing that we do, because there are people who haven't heard. People come up with these ridiculous what-if scenarios. Well, will the people in the islands of the sea go to heaven if they've never heard the gospel? Well, the Bible says they can look up to heaven and see the glory of God. Psalm 19, you think about that? And by the way, if someone is seeking God, God is not just going to say, nah. He's either going to speak to them, or he's going to send a missionary to them. And by the way, you don't have to be a quote-unquote missionary to go tell others about Christ. Every single one of us ought to be a missionary. One proclaiming the gospel, evangelist, if you will. Every one of us should be an evangelist to this community, to the surrounding areas, to the world, to our family. Wherever the case may be, this is what we need to do, because God's not willing that any should perish. How many of we understand that? If God's not willing for people to go to hell, we should not either. So we think about this, but there are people out there deceiving people. There are people out there still telling people, as we just talked about, hey, if you do these works, you're going to go to heaven. Or hey, if you follow and allow us to baptize you, you're going to be saved. There are people still teaching this. And people will get fighting mad with us when we say, that's not right. Are we here to fight for our own beliefs, or are we here to defend the faith? We're here to defend the faith. And as a church body, that's what we all need to do. And by the way, if you believe the Bible, and I think I've said this before, if you believe the Bible and I believe the Bible as it is written, we should have unity. We should have fellowship. But isn't it crazy we don't have fellowship with so-called believers or people who call themselves Christians in the community because they don't believe what the Bible says? And Romans does teach us clearly, mark them, avoid them. Romans 16:17. There are false doctrines out there, and just because someone puts a cross on their sign does not mean they're Christian. We've got a cross in the baptistry here. That doesn't mean we're Christian, but this is what we preach. Aren't you glad there's not a person on that cross right now? I'm glad he's risen. I'm glad he's at the right hand of the Father. I'm glad he's busy preparing a place for us. And I'm looking forward to him coming to get us. And that's what we need to continue to do. All right, let's continue on. I'm trying to keep track of time here so I don't get in trouble. But here it is. There are deceivers out there, and you and I do not need to be easily fooled. And the only way that we're going to keep from being fooled or deceived is by knowing the truth for ourselves. And so please keep studying. Keep listening. And as I've told you before, it doesn't matter if it's myself or pastor or any other preacher, even if it's on the internet, whatever. Sure, listen to what they say, but make sure that what they're saying is in agreement with the Word of God. And that means we have to put in a little bit of effort of research. Search the Scriptures. See if this thing is true or not. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. But here we go. Verse 15. But speaking the truth hatefully. Is that what it says? Screaming at the top of your lungs. Pointing your finger in somebody's face. Is that what it says? No, it says speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, what is the body of Christ? The church. Yes or no? And this is what we're supposed to do. We are to continue building each other up. Well, what if a brother or sister sins? Well, bring it to their attention. Does that mean come up here behind the pulpit and say, well, so-and-so sinned? No, God gives us specific details on what we need to do in that situation. You go to that person alone. You try to talk to that person in private first. How many of you are familiar with what I'm talking about? Matthew 18, verses 15 through 18. Please be very familiar with how you handle problems, how you handle situations. It may be that that person did a perceived sin in your mind. A lot of times we play judge and jury, do we not? Let's not do that. There's only one judge. Now, we should know what the truth is because of the Word of God. We should know if something is truly sin or not, but not our perception. Our perception of somebody's sin is not valid. But maybe you think that person sinned. Well, go to that person. Talk to that person. One-on-one. Don't bring the witnesses yet. Talk to that person one-on-one. And I guarantee you, if that person's right with the Lord and you're right with the Lord, that misperception or that misunderstanding will probably be cleared up right away. Or, if it's true, that person say, you know what, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Are we willing to admit that we're wrong? Are we willing to ask for forgiveness? We need to be. We need to be. That pride's something else, isn't it? But as we think about this, we are to continue, and every part of this is pointing us to the image of Christ, to be like our Lord and Savior. We will not reach that mark, if you will, but we need to be running towards the mark. We need to do our best to submit ourselves to Christ and allow Him to work in us. And I hope that'll be a help to you. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go over different things of the church and certain churches of how God dealt with them. And of course, if you want to read in Revelations, or not Revelations, but Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, that's a good place to look, but also how God dealt with the church at Corinth. These are things that we need to understand. Things that are not easy. Do you realize that dealing with things in a godly manner is not always easy? But it sure is rewarding. Amen? And it always produces restoration if it's done right. And it always brings about healing. How many of you think that we could use some healing? How many of you know some people that use some restoration? Well, it could be us, except by the will of God, or by the grace of God, rather. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you now to just continue to be with us. Father, thank you for your word. Father, without your word, we would have no idea, no inclination whatsoever what we should be doing or how we should do it. But Father, I thank you that you took time to give it to us. Father, I pray for the preaching hour that you be with our pastor. Lord, please watch over him. Lord, strengthen him. Whoever's bringing the message, whether it's him or someone else, Father, please give me exactly what we need. And Lord, help us to receive it with joy. Help us to receive it with thanksgiving. And Lord, that you would just continue to mold us and make us in the image of Christ. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name for his honor and glory. Amen.